One more time in chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, it says here, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." That's what God wants from us, amen. He just simply wants us to do His will. That working in you, that which is well-pleasing in His sight. It's always well-pleasing in God's sight if we just simply do His will. It doesn't mean that we have to be the best or the greatest or the brightest, or we just need to do God's will. It says, and that's well-pleasing in His sight, verse 21, "through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we want You to be glorified. We want to be well-pleasing. I want to be well-pleasing tonight in Your sight. Lord, I pray that I would preach the Bible, preach the message according to Your will for Your people here tonight. I pray, Lord God, You would be blessed and honored, that Your Holy Spirit would have full control of me and of, Lord God, of every hearer, every heart here in this place. Bless now, I pray, Lord. Continue to work in all of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This chapter, as I mentioned last week, basically the whole book of Hebrews is written to individuals to exhort, to encourage people with the purpose of making us who we need to be in order, like the Bible says in verse 21, to do His will. To make us perfect, which means mature, to make us complete, well-rounded, so that we're not lacking anything, amen, to be able to do God's will, to be pleasing in His sight, to glorify Jesus Christ as members of His church, as we talked about last week. We talked about Hebrews 13 kind of being a report card, kind of being a way for us to kind of check off some things in our lives as a church, just so that we could become, if we live up to these things, obviously it's going to never be a perfect life, but we could become a better church. I think that we need to be always looking to be better than what we were before, yesterday, the day before. I think we should be growing in grace, growing in knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, if individually we are growing as individuals, our church is going to be a better church. If we are individually drawing closer to the Lord and glorifying God and doing His will and living a life that's more well-pleasing and more pleasing in His sight, then our church is obviously going to flourish in the same direction because of the members doing that such thing. So the book of Hebrews is written to exhort those Jewish believers, and then of course chapter 13 is kind of the conclusion of the book, and we said that last week, but it will be a few weeks before we conclude the series. But what we're going to touch on then is chapter 13 verse 1. Very short verse, but really the foundation of being a better church, the foundation of being better believers, more well-pleasing, more pleasing in God's sight, is that we let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. I want to talk to you tonight then about this first step in being a better church, is this thing of Christian love. What is it about love, Christian love, that's different than just regular love or the world's love? Obviously, Christ is involved. Amen. It's a world of difference when Jesus Christ gets involved in our hearts, in our lives, but including in our love. This is the first thing mentioned in this list for a better church. It has to be built. It has to be established and built on brotherly love. Love among the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. This is the root of the strong church, dearly beloved. It's a brotherly love. The foundation of a church that glorifies God is that their love among the brethren. Anytime there's an absence of love among the brethren in the church, then that church is no longer glorifying God. It's not doing the will of God. It's not well-pleasing in His sight, and it's not glorifying our Savior. I want to say, first of all, before I get into this, there is a definite brotherly love here in our church. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'm thankful for it. It's a blessing to come to church. It's a blessing to be among the brethren here, you and me, and together. together, together serving the Lord. There is a love here, a certain, let's call it a spirit, okay? A unity of the Holy Spirit here in this church. And that makes it special for many reasons. But outsiders, listen, outsiders, visitors, and others that come in, they see it as well. And they may not say it to you, but they do comment to me. They tell me there's a good spirit here. My mom, when she was here back over Christmas and New Year's, she remarked how everybody comes to everything. And what she meant was, now, I know there's some sickness going around, and I say this tonight, and half of our church is not here. But anyway, but she commented how everybody comes to the 5 o'clock Bible study. Everybody comes, you know, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And she said, you know, our church, she was talking about her church back in Virginia. Her church has more people in it, but yet, you know, they're not faithful to everything. And she was just talking about the unity here in our church. And listen, she noticed it. Brother East was here just a couple of weeks ago preaching for us, and he mentioned to me before he left, he said, you still have a good spirit here. You brought the good spirit from the other building and you still have it here. And I'm just telling you, that's a big deal, amen. The reason that there a bad spirit kind of creeps into a church is when there's division.
Right.
Is when people are not united anymore. And listen to me, that only happens when this thing of Christian love starts to fail or falter somewhere. The use of the word here in verse 1, the brotherly love says continue. The use of this word continue indicates that this brotherly love is to be an ongoing condition. In other words, it's not supposed to ever fall away. It's not supposed to ever stop or even become less. Or it's supposed to be an ongoing thing until Jesus comes. We've got to let brotherly love continue. And I said, so when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any problem with this. When we get to heaven, everyone's going to love each other, amen, because we're going to be completely void of this old flesh and the sin that corrupts our flesh. But understand something, what we're going to do here tonight is just kind of have a little Bible study for a few minutes and look at some verses here in Hebrews and in some other portions of the New Testament and look at what this brotherly love really does for a church, okay? Let's go back in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 now tonight. Brotherly love, let brotherly love continue. It's something that we have to allow, amen, for it to continue. It's important that we protect it, in other words. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. Notice, how I show toward the name of God that I love him is that ye have ministered to the saints. And do minister to the saints. Those are other brothers, amen? Other brothers and sisters in Christ. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. There it means continuing unto the end. So number one, quickly, love, brotherly Christian love in a church is important because love serves one another. Love serves one another. That's what it says. And you have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. Brotherly love, Christian love, is a love that makes you give so that other people can be served, can be helped. And the desire of the Lord is that every one of you show that same diligence. It takes diligence. In other words, it's something that we ought to be always looking for. If we truly love the brethren, if there's brotherly love, Christian love in our hearts, then we look to serve one another. We look to serve the minister to the saints and continually do that, amen, until Jesus comes. Now, I'm telling you, it's important that a church has a heart to serve. When you come to church, you ought not come, amen, just for yourself. When we come to church, we ought to come to say, you know what, I hope so-and-so is here, or you know, when I see so-and-so, I'm going to go greet them and love them and just make sure that I'm giving myself to help other people. That's Christian love. Christian love, remember, the world's love is self-centered. Christian love, Christ's love, is others-centered, okay? It's completely different. So, brotherly love, Christian love, amen, serves one another. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. and through 46. We're going to look at the early church there, the very first church in Jerusalem there. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. This thing of Christian love, it serves one another. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing, look at that, there's that word again, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. How can there be one accord? That means they're all together. There's harmony. There's no division. There's all, it's unity. They're continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and, notice, singleness of heart. No division. Love, listen to me, this Christian love sticks together. Sticks together. Look what it says in verse 44. All that believed, all that were saved, all that were filled with the love of Christ and given the Spirit of God, they were together. And then notice, they had all things common. You know why there's such a different spirit here? It's because when people come together, we have everything in common. Amen? We have Christ in us. We have a different desire to live for Christ. We have a different desire to honor God. We're not trying to live for ourselves. Division comes into the body when people start living for themselves.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And then all of a sudden, listen, when you have this Christian love that I'm talking about among the believers, there's a desire to be there where they're at, because they stick. We stick together. We have all things in common. In other words, they no longer had things that in common with the world anymore. That they didn't think like the world anymore. They didn't act or talk, etc. You understand? In verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. In other words, they were so united in this thing that they made sure that everybody's needs were met. And this is nothing more than just giving of themselves, their tithes and their offerings. And why? It's because we have something in common here. We have something that God has put together here, amen, that we are not to let any man divide or put asunder. They continue daily with one accord. It's an amazing picture. This Christian love sticks together. A good, solid church loves one another, and they desire to be together. They desire to see each other. They desire to be around each other. They serve each other. They stick together. Romans chapter 12 now. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to briefly look at some of these. Amen. Like I said, kind of talk about it for a few minutes. Romans chapter 12 here tonight, beginning in verse 9. Now these are some warnings here. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Look what it says. Let love be without dissimulation. Now dissimulation means faking it. Be careful that you don't start faking that Christian love. Because what happens is, sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite you. It's going to come back and it's going to be revealed, amen, in your heart, and you're going to be ashamed. We have to be careful that we don't fake this thing. Okay, look what it says in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. How am I going to avoid my love not being, look what it says, abhor that which is evil. The evil things in this world, folks, listen to, sin robs you of this love.
That's right.
Sin robs us of this love. We cannot have this strong unity in a body of believers if we allow sin to creep into our lives. Listen, it doesn't mean that sin's going to be in everybody's life, but when sin comes in and you allow evil and sin to be in your heart, in your home, in your mind, then listen, you come to church and you're not really on board. You're not there anymore as much as you used to be. You're not sticking meeting with the brothers. Amen. You're not one accord. There's not that unity and that harmony there anymore. You've got to be real careful to not let your love become dissimilar or fake. You've got to abhor that which is evil. And look, verse 9, cleave to that which is good. These are all things that we have to do to keep our love from becoming fake or false or phony or, listen, can I say this? Hypocritical. Hypocritical. Look in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You've got to be careful. Come to church. Come to the place of assembly with the saints and realize, listen, I'm coming and preferring other people around me. Not slothful in verse 11 in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We're serving each other. We're serving the Lord with a fervent heart. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's all of these things are going to unite our hearts together in this Christian love. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, don't be self-conceited. Amen. There's so many things here. But recompense to no man evil for evil. All of these things are there waiting to rob you of this Christian love. And provide things honest in the sight of all men. Never, ever, amen, allow dishonesty and deceit to creep into your life. If it be possible, verse 18, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If you can get along with them, do the best you can to get along with them without compromising the truth. Dearly beloved, verse 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That's Christian love. If he thirst, give him drink. If for in doing so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now look in verse 21. He says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, this Christian love surpasses evil that's all around us. This Christian love shelters us from the evil that's everywhere. I've got to be careful because the evil that's around me, the evil that's in every one of our lives, all around us, every day, all everywhere we go, is there trying to attack and devour this love for our brethren. It will always show up, amen, in our love and our treatment of the brothers and sisters in our church. Are you with me tonight? Love serves one another. Love sticks together. This Christian love, true charity, okay? Love will shelter us from evil. It really is that important. It really is that important. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Notice that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, love, this Christian love, strengthens my walk with God. It strengthens my walk with the Lord. It strengthens my inner man. It makes me stronger against evil. I'm telling you, we're talking about a reality here. The Bible tells us here, and that we can be, verse 17, rooted and grounded in what? In love.
Amen.
Amen. Real love, folks, is a rooting and grounding of a believer, making you stronger against the storms of this life, making you stronger against the winds that blow, making us as a church a better, a stronger church, where we have a love for the Lord and a love for each other. Because of that, we don't allow the evil of this world to come in between that and divide that and rip that apart. We have a love for Christ, we have a love for the Lord, and it roots us and grounds us. And the Bible says that's part of that is the center core of the equation if we're going to be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
What we need, dearly beloved, more than anything else, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. We don't need to be rich and famous, popular. We don't need to be pretty. We don't need to be skinny. We don't need to be fat. We don't need to be fed. We need to be filled with the fullness of God.
Amen.
We need to be filled with all the fullness. And according to verse 19, dearly beloved, it's possible. I don't know about you, but that's heavy on my heart. We've got to come to an understanding that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, and that is God's will.
Amen.
That is God's will, that we be filled with all the fullness of God. But God's love, Christ's love, our love for each other is a big, vital, crucial part of that. See, God, according to 1 John chapter 3, God is love.
Amen.
So if I'm filled with all the fullness of God, dearly beloved, then I cannot have anything in my heart but love. Christian love, true love, the love of Christ. The love of Christ for my brothers and sisters. It's going to, listen, it ought to be easy to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not always easy to love a lost sinner. It's not always easy to love someone who doesn't love me, or someone who's trying to fight me, or, you understand, someone who's living for the devil. But it ought to be easy, brethren, to come to the house of God and with a love that serves one another, with a love that sticks together, with a love that strengthens and shelters us from evil and strengthens our inner man and allows us literally to be filled with all the fullness of God. I know that love sounds like a fairy tale nowadays, but I'm talking about Christ's love. The love that Christ had when he died on that old rugged cross. Amen. He was thinking about you and me. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What does that mean? He went through the hard times, and he went through the heartaches, and he went through the suffering because he knew, hey, there's a Christian, a believer, a man named Richard DeShazo, amen, one day, who's going to be born, and he's going to trust me as his Savior, and he's going to serve me all the days of his life, and I'm going to endure this cross. I'm going to despise his shame I know that my brother one day will live for me, and that love will be able to strengthen him. That's Christian love. Christian love makes us stronger. Christian love is not what this... Listen, there's a lot of dissimulation is what I'm talking about. But real, true, honest to goodness, godly love, the love of Christ, the Bible says, constraineth us.
Amen.
Fills our heart with a desire to be a better Christian. Fills our heart with a desire to really help somebody else be a better Christian. To be a blessing to other people, to serve other people, to stick together, amen. Even though the church is not wonderful as far as perfect people, there's still a unity there because we love each other.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 tonight, verse 1. If there be therefore Philippians 2 verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love. Think about that. Love comforts the heart. Consolation is another word for comfort, consoling. Giving you comfort in a time when there's no other comfort. It's comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Look in verse 2. That ye be like-minded, having the same love. Wow. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Having the same love, being of one accord. That's just like we looked in Acts chapter 2, of one mind. Look in verse 3 now. How we have to be careful. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. What is vainglory, preacher? Vainglory is where you're living for your glory. You're doing things for your glory. You're doing things to make you look good. You're doing what you do to make you shine. Understand something. The Bible says that we cannot let anything be done through that vain glory. Again, we, ourselves, our flesh, we do not know how to love outside of the love of Christ. We cannot do anything, nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Notice, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Dearly beloved, tonight I'm telling you something. There's such an amazing power in this love. I don't know if I can make you understand it here tonight, but this is the foundation of a strong church. This is the foundation of a strong family. This is the foundation of a strong marriage. This is the foundation. This is Christian love. It's not the love that the world gives you. It's the love only that you can have in Christ. But listen, this love, notice, it removes strife. Strife is arguing. Strife is contention. Strife is bickering and fighting. And you know, all of those things, disagreements. No. It's just a flat out argument. It's strife. It's a head on collision, amen, with someone else. Not unity, but a train wreck. This love that I'm talking about, if we would fill our hearts with this love, Brother Bruce, if we would fill our hearts with this love, and we would understand this love serves other people. And I say, this love sticks together. This love helps shelter me from evil. This love strengthens my heart, my inner man. This love removes strife.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, can you imagine? Look what it says in verse 1 again. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love. Strife does not comfort anybody. Strife makes everybody uptight. Strife brings all kinds of heartache and sadness and tears and separation and division and problems. Listen, but this love brings comfort. It brings true consolation. Well, there's a spirit that I know I can trust these brethren because I know they love me. I can trust my pastor because I know he loves me with a love of Christ. I can come to church and I can feel safe. Amen. That I'm not going to have any strife among the brethren.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I've been in some churches, and maybe you have too, but I've been in some churches where there's this group over here, and this group over here, and this group over here, and they have their cliques, and they're all talking about each other negatively. This group's talking about everybody else, this group's talking about, and that is nothing but evil. That's nothing. That will destroy a church. That church will never go forward. That church will never grow. That church will certainly never glorify God. Let brotherly love continue. It's got to continue. In other words, it's got to be an ongoing thing. At all times, it's got to be a priority in our hearts, in our lives. Listen, it's not just going to be a switch that we turn on when we come to church either.
Right.
Are you listening to me? If we have this Christian love in our hearts, it's going to be there at home. It's going to be there in our workplace. Now, those aren't the saints of God, I know, but we still have. Many times I go out and I work with Samuel, and we do some yards and things like that, and. And I talk about his mom all the time. I talk about his mom all the time. He comes home and he says, and Miss Fogg asked, well, how was y'all's day? And Samuel said, well, all Dad did was talk about you. I can't help it. She's my best friend. She's my wife. We're one flesh. And Samuel says, "Well, good night, Mom. All Dad ever does is talk about you." That's what I'm talking. You know why? Because I'm thinking about her. Because I love her. I can't wait to get home to see her. And I love my son too. But I understand something. It's a different love. But while we're at work, while we're at the grocery store, we're thinking about the one that we love. We're thinking about our church family. You know, we're whispering a prayer, praying for someone who's struggling, praying for someone who's having a hard time. You know, it's just this real Christian love. It ought to be something that just continues on and on through our life every day, every day, every day. And when we come to church, it's not something that I think probably when we get to this point, that's why it won't be a question whether or not we're going to go to church, because that's what I've been thinking about ever since I left church. You know, my brothers, I'm praying for them. I love them. I can't wait to sing again and rejoice again and fellowship and hear the preaching so we can all be together on the same page. But it removes strife out of my heart. I can't be praying for you and thinking about how much I appreciate you and as a church, and then come to church and start arguing with you. Amen. Come to church and start running my mouth and that's never going to happen. So this love builds and continues in me and in our hearts, and so there's a special unity here. And listen, I promise you, as a preacher trying to preach, it makes it easy when everybody's on board, amen, united together. And loving the Lord, loving each other, wanting to grow, wanting to be a better church. It's an amazing thing. It makes all the difference in the world. But love removes strife. Boy, there's some churches, when there's strife, there's somebody angry at somebody else, I can't preach to save my life. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand that." No, you don't understand that. Maybe if you tried, you would. But understand something. When there's somebody that's upset with somebody else, I don't have to see it on your face. There's just a spirit that comes out of you. Amen. And it's a spirit of strife and anger and division. And understand something. It's not that I want you to go home and never come. I just want you to understand that love is the answer. Love them. Let God give you a love for them. And let God change so you can be stronger. And we can all be stronger as a church. Amen. Herein shall the Bible says, "Herein shall men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have one for another." Amen. Jesus said that's how the world's going to know you're different. Is not because you love the things of the world, because you love each other, though. Amen. There's a tremendous power in this. It removes strife. It removes all of that fighting and arguing and contention. And it brings a peace and a comfort. Because I esteem every man also. I esteem every man better than myself. Whew. Wow, I respect you more than I do me. Paul said, "I die daily," he said. What does that mean? That means I die to myself daily. He said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." That's what he said. He's talking about a preacher talking to a church. He said, "I will very gladly spend whatever I need to spend and be spent." In other words, I'll just die for you. I mean, that's the heart that I'm talking about. Brotherly love, Christian love, the love of Christ that makes a church so strong, so powerful, so united, a force that the devil cannot contend with. You see, the devil likes strife. He likes arguing. He likes vainglory. He likes selfishness. But the love of Christ is selflessness. Just completely giving myself so that others can be made happy, comforted, and rejoice. Amen. Amen. Look in 1 Thessalonians now. I've got a few more here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. First Thessalonians 4, verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God." to love one another. I'm not teaching you this, amen. This is God's word saying all this. God is the one that, when Christ moves into the heart, amen, this is one of the first things, I think, and for the rest of our lives, he's teaching us, amen, to love one another. Verse 10, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that notice that you increase more and more. This love should always be growing. It should be something that we should pray, God, grow my love for you, grow my love for the brethren, grow my love for my church family, grow my love for the brethren and brothers and sisters in my church. This love ought to be always growing, amen. It's important. Look in 2 Thessalonians verse 1. Excuse me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God. This is written to the same group of people. To thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. See, listen to me. Love proves that I trust God. Let me show you. Let me read to you again. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet. Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity. That charity is that Christian love, the true love of God. That charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. See, as my love grows, my faith will grow. As my faith grows, my love will grow. As I trust God, and I begin to see this is what is best for me. As I grow in my understanding and believing God's word, I'm going to grow naturally in loving the brothers and sisters, loving my church, loving the fellow, the brethren in the body of Christ. In verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions. Look what this love does. It gives you patience. It gives you faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Love shows forth my faith, and listen, and love strengthens me in all my persecutions and tribulations. How is that? I'm telling you something. There's a real power here in this love.
That's right.
You may not even know how to put your finger on it. You may not even know how to describe it. But there's just, and it's not, listen, can I say something to you? It's not even really an emotion.
Right.
It's not an emotion. It's what you do, amen. You esteem others better than yourself. You grow in loving others. And you grow in your faith just believing God. That's not an emotion.
Right.
An emotion is not a part of my faith. Faith will help me have stronger feelings and less more stable in my emotions. But faith and love are not emotions, dearly beloved.
Amen.
They're not feelings.
That's right.
It's simply what it's Christ in me.
Amen.
And he is love. And he is the author and finisher of my faith. And so through my relationship with Christ, it's an outpouring of my relationship with Christ that I love the brethren and that I believe and trust and love and understand God more. It's not a, people, I mean, people talk about love as if it was some emotion. It causes emotions. And like going back to what I was telling you about my son and my wife, it causes you to be a desire, you know, to be with someone, but it's not just a feeling. It's a fact of the matter that it's in your heart, amen. And this person, you love them. It's not about I love them if. It's an unconditional, built on Christ and God and his love for me. It has made my heart love you and someone else because I know it's what God wants me to do.
Amen.
Understand this. I don't know if I'm speaking Greek to you right now, but love is not an emotion.
Amen.
Love is not a feeling.
Amen.
But love will give you feelings toward people, yes, obviously, but those feelings can change. Love is a decision that this is God's will for me. This is right for me. This is right for my church, for me and my family. I'm going to love. I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to allow myself, amen, to be spent for other people.
Amen.
And then, boy, I tell you what, You're going to see wonderful changes in your own heart. You're going to learn to trust God because, listen, you're going to be stronger in your persecutions, in your trials. Because, see, when you're living to please yourself, and when a church family comes together and we're all coming together to for ourselves, we're not strong. We're weak in the faith. Because God's word says we are to love one another. Right? And when I take that for truth, amen, God's word says that, then I just serve one another. I stick together. It allows me to, it strengthens my heart. It allows me to it shields me against evil. It removes strife. It's always growing. It shows forth, hey, I really do trust the Lord. It shows forth my faith.
Amen.
That I'm doing what God says.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, there's a tremendous power. Remember, of that one accord. United, amen. You know the old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. It's very true. Jesus even said the house that is divided cannot stand. The house that is divided against itself cannot stand.
Amen.
Cannot stand. Amen. The same works the same for a church. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm almost done here. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Look at this. This is powerful. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Look, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, no doubt about it. My wife is even a sinner, but I still love her with all my heart. You understand what I'm saying? When a marriage is strong, when a church is strong, it's because this love covers the sins. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean that nobody's ever going to hurt your feelings.
Right.
It doesn't mean that nobody's ever going to lie about you or nobody's ever going to be kind of sarcastic and maybe say something that you didn't quite appreciate. It doesn't mean that somebody else is going to be a little bit grumpy one day and do something or say something to make you kind of jump back and say, what in the world was that all about? You've all been there. As a church family, it happens.
Right.
Especially in a small church family like this where we're all together and we know each other pretty well and we spend a lot of time together with each other. And sometimes somebody comes in with a little bit of a, you know, maybe attitude and they say something or they do something and you're like, wait a minute. I don't believe that just happened. I can't believe I just heard that. Let's understand something. What's going to keep us together? What's going to keep us from allowing that kind of stuff to grow and divide us is charity.
Amen.
It covers the multitude of sins.
Amen.
As brotherly love continues, as it grows, as it goes forward, as it unites and bonds our family together, listen to me, there's still going to be sins.
That's right.
It's still going to be sins.
Yeah,
we have to understand that this love that Christ puts in us, amen, is a love that no one else, amen, can take away if we'll just walk with God, trust the Lord, amen, believe that this will indeed cover a multitude of sins. That's what it says. That's why it says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That's a church family, among yourselves. And let God's love cover the multitude of sins. It's going to happen. I promise you, dearly beloved, there's such a peace, such a comfort, such a joy, such a power.
Amen.
In this love. Letting God's love fill your heart. Listen, this is how, if you want to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm done. This is how Matthew chapter 5 can be possible. And then I'm done. Matthew 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely against you falsely for my sake. Now that's not speaking of your brothers in Christ. That's speaking of men in the world. Rejoice in verse 12 and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Persecution by saying things evil against you falsely for the sake of Christ. Just because you love the Lord, because you want this love to fill your heart, and you want to be filled with all the fullness of God. How is it that I can possibly rejoice and be exceeding glad when someone is so evil? When someone is so thoughtless, so unkind, so literally, the Bible says, persecuting you by simply saying things that are false. How can I rejoice? How can I be exceeding glad? Understand something. Because charity covereth a multitude of sins. I realize that I'm gonna let my heart be filled with God's love. Amen. How is that Jesus hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them.
Yeah, come on.
For they know not what they do. Listen, dearly beloved, I'm done. But it wasn't because he felt all ooey and gooey about them.
Right.
I mean, he was hanging on the cross. His guts were hanging out of his body. His intestines, I mean, his back. He was every bone in his body was exposed. He wasn't feeling all emotionally attached to those people. He simply allowed the fullness of God and his heart to be given to understand that they don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
They're not the problem. The problem is the evil in them. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood,
right, but
against principalities and powers.
When
someone sins against you, understand something. It's not because they're evil. It's because they've allowed somebody or something else to control them. But when you understand something, when I'm filled with love and the love of Christ and the Christian love that I'm charity that I'm talking about, then I can understand. I can rejoice and be exceeding glad. I can make it. I can keep going. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that a man's discretion deferreth his anger. Discretion is understanding, knowledge, and discern. And he goes on to say, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression, just to ignore it when somebody does something to you. Why? Because you know, hey, they're just upset. They didn't mean that. They're having a bad day. They're not saved. They're not walking with God. They're not right now. They're battling sin. They're struggling. And Christian love, this love of this charity, covers a multitude of sins. I tell you what, if we don't let this love fill our hearts and fill us and allow us to be filled with the fullness of God, we will be overcome with evil. That's what Romans 12 says. And that evil mainly is going to be an evil of bitterness, where we just refuse. We've got to let somebody else know. We've got to make sure that they get what's coming to them, what they deserve. But the Bible says vengeance. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Dearly beloved, tonight, a better church is possible. But it's going to start when we allow our hearts to be filled with this love, true love. Again, don't confuse this with some emotion. It will cause you to have some emotions, but when you just stop for a minute and realize how much the Lord loved you, God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. In other words, there was no real reason for him to love us. We didn't love him. We weren't doing anything good for him. We weren't serving him.
Yeah.
But his love overlooked all of that.
Amen.
His love overlooked all of that, covered the multitude of sins, and he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross.
Amen.
That love ought to be what governs and rules our hearts, our church. It's not going to make us compromise the truth. Not at all. It's not going to make us lower our standards and start having rock and roll bands. I know that's what everybody... That it's nothing to do with emotions.
Yeah.
It has to do with a love of God, a love for God, and a love for my brothers. We can have a better church. I mean, I tell you, I promise you, this is already here in our church. It already is. But we can always pray that God will grow it in our hearts. Somebody here tonight, amen, somebody here, if not all of us, can always improve in this area of Christian love. It is the foundation of a better church because it makes me a better Christian. That's how it works, amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you bless your word tonight. Lord, I know we said a lot here, but Lord, I pray that through your word, through your scripture, through your spirit, you would help us all to come to an understanding, a better understanding of